Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, and we are excited to welcome back to the program Mr. Charlie Batch. He's got a Super Bowl ring, played a long time in the NFL at the quarterback position. Charlie, what's up, man? How are you?
All around great dude as well.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. How you doing, fellas?
What's up, Charlie?
We're kind of trying to unravel yesterday's Commanders-Steelers game. Now, you know, I know that you bleed black and gold, but watching that game, it was two pretty
black
good teams,
black and yellow,
that seemed like a pretty fair matchup, and one side made the plays late. How did you view it?
Yeah, it was essentially that way. And, you know, obviously Washington played a lot of good ball for 3.5 quarters there. And whenever that turnover happened, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this may be the end. And sure enough, the Steelers were able to make a stop, get the ball back to their offense, and was able to go down and score in that particular manner. So I know they're heartbroken down in Washington, but up here in Pittsburgh, I promise you, these guys are excited around here.
Hey, you watch a lot of football, man. And Mike Tomlin, he gets a young quarterback who's very athletic, has played well. What did you see them try to do to him to kind of – because early on, Jaden seemed a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, they were working – obviously, they have a lot of familiarity with the play of Lamar Jackson in the division. So when you're preparing for a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, you're saying to yourself, okay, very similar, let's take away some of his weaknesses. And, of course, as he's rolling and making plays out, you want to bring that blitz to one side. And those are things that you're able to do after you have a 9-game sample of him. Now, early in the year, I don't think they would have been able to do some of those things. But obviously, in the second half, they were able to make those adjustments and slow down that offense because that production just wasn't there. But again, that's something that the Steelers played, and that is their strength, dominating in the second half of the game. And it's not just particular this game here with Washington. They've been doing that over the past month and a half.
What did you think, as a former quarterback, when Russ drops back and sees Mike Williams in one-on-one on the side, were you surprised how clean Williams was able to run that route and just the ball placement was perfect?
The ball placement definitely was perfect. And, you know, really, we didn't know that he wasn't really supposed to be in on that play only because that's Calvin Austin, and that could have moved somebody else out there in the X position. But when Calvin went out, Mike comes into that game, and just watching him throughout practice, this guy's only been here for about 5 days. So trying to learn the particular system, and I just think Russ probably went over to him and said, listen, you're going to line up over there and just run a go route. Give me everything you got, and from there, if I give you a chance one-on-one, I'm gonna take a shot. And sure enough, that blitz happened. Russ was able to buy some time, and when he put that ball in the air and I seen Mike running under that, I said, you have a chance. And when you talk about your one play in that moment as far as your welcome to Pittsburgh moment, for him, that happened right there, and you just see the manner of the sideline and everybody offensively celebrating for Mike because they know the things he's been through before, but ultimately he's now making play for the Steelers, and those guys were super excited for him.
I don't know if you've watched any other games with the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. What's your assessment of him if you have?
Yeah, I really like where he's at. I mean, it kind of reminds me early on of what RG3 was doing when he was, you know, taking the league by storm his first year. But he is a little bit, you know, thinner than what RG3 is. And, of course, you want to try to minimize some of those hits. And I know he was battling rib injuries. But as he learns to protect himself there, you know, I think the sky's the limit for that guy. And I like what I see at this early stage. So I'm a big fan of him. Unfortunately, I don't have to watch him every single year because the Steelers may not play Washington for every 4 years. So I hope that doesn't happen, and we don't have that ghost of Daniels around Pittsburgh because this guy's going to be a great player, and I'm just excited to watch his career unfold right before our eyes.
Talking with Charlie Batch here. You can give him a follow at CharlieBatch16. course, a Super Bowl champion, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler. For Daniel specifically, watching that game yesterday, what did the Steelers' defense do? I mean, he came into that game averaging over 50 rush yards per game. Yesterday, he had 5. He never really got it going on the ground. What did Mike Tomlin's defense kind of draw up there?
Yeah, you're playing that position where you know, okay, this guy's going to, you know, either roll right, roll left. And when you do that, you're having a spy that's going to follow him. And again, that goes back to being familiar with Lamar Jackson. And I think when you have the playmakers like you do with T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, those guys actually can at least attempt to change what his landmark is by that speed and not allowing him to get around the corner as fast and hoping that the secondary can collapse on the football. That's just those are the things when you typically play mobile quarterbacks in the manner of Daniels, because they've seen it, you know, in Kyler Murray. They've seen it in Lamar Jackson. So when you see these type of quarterback plays and you have the speed on defense, that allows you to make those plays and minimize his yardage. Then that's exactly what they were doing. They were going to make him one-dimensional by taking that away and forcing him to throw the ball down the field.
I thought Queen was really good in that role. Like, the stat sheet doesn't necessarily pop there, only the 7 tackles, but Jaden recognized, I think, fairly early that he couldn't get to the edges as easy as he could in some other games.
Yeah, and that's what happened when you have those RPOs, right? You're trying to sell that run action, then you're tucking the ball in and you're getting to the edge. And those are things that, again, you have playmakers that are able to spill it. And this was a lot. This was more in this particular game that Minkah Fitzpatrick actually played closer to the line of scrimmage because of his speed and making sure that he was able to spy Jaden Daniels in that manner. That only happened because they just gained Cameron Sutton back, and because he's able to play multiple positions in that secondary, allow Minkah to start going out there and being Minkah and particular manner and just allowing him to make plays in the middle.
So as a quarterback watching that game yesterday, right, and you play QB for a long time at the pro level, won a lot of games, Washington's receivers didn't help Jaden a ton in this thing. No. There were a lot of drops. Even the last drive, you can make an argument that Ertz should have gotten a little bit further before he broke his route back. What's it like for a QB when you feel like the drops are starting to add up?
It's tough. You know, you don't want to lose confidence. And sometimes, you know, when you overthink things, you're like, my read is supposed to take me to this guy, but he's having a rough game. I don't want to throw it that direction. You know, that plays a factor into it. And sometimes you don't go that direction. But then when it matters and when the game's on the line, you're like, forget everything that just happened. I want this guy to go out and make plays. And when that doesn't happen, it becomes frustrating. But you can't turn around and have that conversation in a negative light because you're dealing with a rookie quarterback. You're trying to build that confidence up. But I think those things are going to materialize. And I think, to your point, and when you mentioned that last play coming into the game, and I saw they talked about in Pittsburgh, Washington was 11-for-11 on the season on fourth down. Yes. So you knew they were going to go for that. And to that point, as an offense, we always talk about, especially quarterback-wise, hey, if you need 10 yards for the first down, you got to get 12 in anticipation coming back to 10 to make sure that you're able to pick that first down up. They just came a half yard short, and I was just completely shocked that the ball wasn't moved a little bit, and then they remeasured it, because I actually thought that it was a lot closer than what the referee spotted it at the time, at that moment during the game.
You, me, and the rest of the stands. It was just one little situation, man, where, you know, they were 11 for 11, but they weren't going for 4th and 9.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're going 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 5, it's easier. 4th and 9 is tough, especially against a defensive team like the Steelers.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. You know, and of course, we don't see all of that. All you see is they're perfect on fourth downs.
Yeah.
Right. My point of saying that is the fact of it wasn't like there was panic when they got to that fourth down situation, because they converted in that situation before. It was just a little longer than what they typically are accustomed to going for it.
For sure. I thought yesterday was a really interesting kind of example when Pittsburgh was down 2 scores in the second half of this game, and then has 2 turnovers. Did it seem to you that the Steelers came back and snatched this win, or Washington kind of gave it away?
I think it was a combination of both, right? And I think sometimes when you get up in the lead, you know, you start to kind of take the foot off the throttle a little bit. But I think that play, Jaden Daniels, it may have been a quarterback draw, and Keanu Benton actually made that tackle. If Benton doesn't make that tackle, Washington picks up another set of downs, and they can bleed that clock out as the fourth quarter unfolds. That is a big play that you probably won't see in the highlights, but they know in Pittsburgh, Benton making that play, you know, definitely saved the game for them. But I think in years past, to your point, this offense wasn't built to come from behind, and they got down 10 points, 14 points. You could essentially say, oh, the game's over, and that's just the way it was. But Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator here, obviously he was the head coach in Atlanta, has spent some time as a coordinator in this league. He has the confidence going for these guys. He's saying, listen, this is your offense. This is completely different from what you did over the last 3 to 4 years, so erase that from your memory. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to make plays down the field, and we expect you to make those plays. And that's what happens when you have a veteran quarterback like Russell Wilson, that you believe that he's going to get you into the right play call at the line of scrimmage, and everybody else believes they are a viable option in this offense, and it's starting to spread, and that's exactly what you're seeing. So you have to credit offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
Do you think that's the reason they went more with Russ, because they were winning games with Fields, but they went with Russ, and I think it's because of his leadership.
They don't hit that deep shot with Fields on the field either.
No, they don't. And, you know, and obviously Justin did a great job of getting him to that point. And that's why Russell will acknowledge him publicly, say, thank you, Justin, for getting us to that 4-2 mark. Yes, they were 3-0. They got the 4-2 and essentially handed him the keys at 4-2. So now Russell has won those three games. But I think ultimately when everybody – it was a decision at that time. Everybody's looking at the record. And I'm like, no, when you peel back the layers said – they are 28th in passing offense. That was a formula that they used over the last couple years. They snuck into the playoffs and didn't have much success. So when you see that trend happen, Mike Tomlin made a bold decision when not a lot of people agreed upon it outside of Pittsburgh. But ultimately, when Russell was thrust in there, it was because the intangible that he is able to bring from a leadership perspective in something that he saw from OTAs all the way up to the point that he had named him the starter. And that's why he made that decision. You can see everybody responding a whole heck of a lot differently. But either way, they know they have two quarterbacks here, because at some point during this season, they're going to need Justin Fields to step in and win a ball game for them.
Hey, Charlie, I'd be crazy if I didn't ask about some of the great work your foundation's doing up in the PA area. It's best of the batch. Just, I know you've got some Christmas drives coming up. How can people get involved?
Oh, thank you. Yes, we have. It's definitely going to be a busy time as we close out the year. But Best of the Batch Foundation, we're actually a nonprofit here, an educational foundation that actually serves 3,800 kids annually. And we do so in our STEAM programs and our after school programs. So we serve 3,800 kids. We're in 9 counties throughout southwestern PA. So we have a big fundraiser. We actually have it's coming up this Thursday. We have the pool poker ping pong event. So we have fans able to participate in against the Steelers, local celebrities that were around. And it just raises money all for a good cause. And then in addition to that, we have our turkey drive, which we're having at the end of the month. We adopt 200 families there. And then during the holiday time for Christmas, we actually adopt an additional 400 families during the holiday time, which is equivalent to 1,800 kids. Wow. Over the holiday season. Wow. So, we're just excited to be able to do so. We just celebrated 25 years. So we're super excited about doing so. We actually had a ribbon cutting for our foundation where we went from 5,300 square feet to 33,000. So our numbers are expected to increase. So we're excited about our fundraiser and everything that we have. And I just wanted to thank everybody. And then we do have people around your area that support the foundation as well. So I just wanted to thank everybody for believing in the mission and vision of the Best of the Batch Foundation. And for anybody who wants to learn more, they can go to batchfoundation.org. You'll be able to see all the programs that we run. And if you're ever in the Pittsburgh area, please stop by. We'd love to give you a tour of our new facility.
Well, man, keep doing your thing, brother.
For sure.
Appreciate that.
Charlie Batch, quarterback for the Lions and the Steelers. Hey, last thing. Washington has a short week now going up to Philly to play the Eagles Thursday night. You think it helps after a heartbreaking loss like that, or how hard is the turnaround?
Yeah, it's not going to be hard because you kind of prepare for that. But either way, when you lose one at the end, it's always a tough pill to swallow. The good thing is they don't have to wait a full week to have to play another game. You get out there on Thursday, and then from there you use that weekend as kind of that extra bye week when you have a few extra days off. You just have to handle your business on Thursday. So I think it's a little easier from this perspective because the game plan is not going to change much because you don't have a lot of time to practice those new plays. So now you just get your body ready, get ready to play, and hopefully they can go up there and handle business.
Charlie, thank you for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, bro.
All right, that's Charlie Batch. You can give him a follow on X at CharlieBatch16.
I'm going to enlarge this thing. He didn't go from 5,000 to 6. He went to 30.
That's pretty damn cool. Doing a lot of good work up there. Impressed by what he sees with Jaden Daniels. I don't know how anybody isn't. Washington has another game on Thursday. Short week, which means we're going to hear from Dan Quinn in about 10 minutes. You'll get it live right here on The Fan. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Cap off the NFL week with a chance to win on FanDuel. America's number one sports book. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's games. As I build a same game parlay for the Monday night game, you got the Rams taking on the Dolphins. How about anytime touchdown for Puka Nacua? Over rushing yard for Kyren Williams. And over passing yards, you can take either Tua Tagovailoa or Matthew Stafford. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLE.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In moments, we're expecting to hear from Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach. Off to a hot start, 7-3 on the season. If this wasn't the day after a loss in which they had a double-digit second-half lead, everybody'd still probably be doing some version of cartwheels.
Yeah.
But it does feel a lot different after whether it was Pittsburgh coming back and taking it, or, you know, the Washington coughing it up after losing that game yesterday. I think it's going to be an interesting situation for DQ. And they've got a short week, and they're no longer in first place. Philly's up a half game on them. Just a huge game coming up with the Eagles Thursday night. I think the atmosphere in that thing is going to be pretty damn electric.
Hell yeah. Philly will be ready.
You played in big games in that stadium.
Yep.
Obviously, it seemed like there was some real trouble with Sirianni and the staff and everything earlier. Seems like they've righted the ship, and I'm curious how much you buy into it. They've now won 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. They got to their bye. They had the early bye, right? Week 5, they were 2-2, scuffling. They haven't lost since. Now, they've also beaten, for what it's worth, Cleveland, the Giants, the Bengals, the Jags, and the Cowboys. They've beaten them handily.
Yeah.
The Eagles now, dude.
They did exactly what Washington has done.
Right. So. 7th in points scored, 6th in yards gained, 5th in points allowed, 2nd in yards allowed. So they're doing it on both sides of the ball. They have really started kicking butt in the turnover battle. It's pretty darn remarkable what's happening.
Well, it seemed like what he's done, he's starting his point now of leaning on the players more.
Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach, addressing the media now.
And current soldiers. And what I've learned, it also hits a little bit differently here in D.C. And so prior to the game, I pass Arlington, and that's never lost on me. Driving slowly, I want to feel that weight. And so thank you to all the vets that have given so much, and get ready to get rocking with you guys and some questions regarding the game and this week.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Hi, Dan. Just in reviewing the film, I mean, what was your biggest takeaway, especially as you spoke about some of the missed opportunities, as you rewatched them, did your opinion of them change? I mean, just what was your biggest takeaway from the game film?
Yeah, I thought, I was really pumped to see, you know, what was transpiring at the end of the second quarter, going into the third quarter, and to feel that momentum shift. So this was a hard loss, no doubt about it, Nikki. And the response is what was so important. So what I saw on the field last night towards the end in the locker room of guys talking to one another, they were mad. And that's what I honestly wanted to see on these missed opportunities to say, how do we make sure that doesn't happen again? And but the response also, Nikki, is I could also tell this team is bonded and connected. To see them talking to one another after a play or to kind of pick the next person up. But those are those missed opportunities. What I saw, I kind of wanted to see like, what was this a foul or where was the spot on the fourth down? Like those were the things that I, like on the sideline, I can't tell. You guys can tell better from the press box. But the missed opportunities, those were the ones that like, man, there could have been some big plays that, could have been had on both sides of the ball. I knew it was going to be a hard special teams battle. And I thought guys like Jeremy Reeves really stood out to me. There's some hard hitting plays by Percy and by Jeremy. So I knew that was one of the battles within. I think we had spoken about that, but the response to the missed opportunities, I saw it on the field in the locker room. I was looking to see how they would respond.
And then how do you handle this short week with, a lot of guys are banged up and just making sure they're ready, but as rested as one can be in such a short turnaround.
Yeah, it's a great one. And I'll hit both topics. The first one, you said injuries, and I'll probably have a better sense of that tomorrow. Some guys were still going through imaging and that's all, as far as overall injuries, I'll have a better sense when I visit with you guys prior to practice. We got a big, deep crew and we'll roll hard, but you do have to be selective in the way of how to touch the speed this week. And that'll be closer to Wednesday for us as we get to do that. Monday, today, and Tuesday would be a miniature version of what we'd install on a Wednesday and a Thursday. So that's how we kind of plan for the week. Today would be like a Wednesday. Tomorrow's like a Thursday. The next day is like a Friday, and then get into the game from a teaching and install part. But you're right. You have to have the balance that not every player is exactly the same of what they can and can't do to get ready to play.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Dan, you've talked a lot about like the closeness of the team or how they handle adversity. How is this team compared to some others you've had in that regard, especially in a short week? And have there been teams you've had that maybe you're a little bit worried how they would respond to a loss like that in a short week?
Yeah, I think one, it is a hard turnaround, John, but this team is, they'll be itching to play. I can promise you that. You have that taste where you're just mad, honestly. This team, I don't know if I've seen a team have as much fun together. So that connection, like they've captured the part, John, of like, you got to work really hard and you got to go absolutely, go for it in the biggest way, but they can also like joy hard too. And so those, the two things that jump out to me, this team balls hard, but they also joy hard for one another. And not every team has that. And so I do think they've connected and bonded quickly. And that's why I think there's more under the hood for us, to go to a deeper spot because of that connection, to one another.
And then when you look at the pass game yesterday, what were some things that Pitt, obviously it's a good defense, but what were some things they were doing maybe specifically to take away some of what you're able, what Jaden could do getting out of the pocket and all that, and just some of the effectiveness in the pass game?
Yeah, I think they got a good blitz package. That part was there, but I thought as good as they are, John, I thought we still missed some real chances at us. And so if some of those turn into catches and big plays down the field, those are ones you don't get back. So you don't get to say, except for this play or except for that play. And so a lot of respect for how their style is, the pressure in to go and but not having the run game quite up and going like we would like also affects the play pass too, John. So I think those two things go hand in hand.
You are listening to Commanders head coach Dan Quinn address the media after yesterday's tough one-point loss to the Steelers.
Ones down the field, when you went back and looked at that, how did you view it as a great throw by the quarterback or things that you guys could have done a little bit better?
Combination of both, Ben. On the one for, the touchdown throw, I thought to Pickens, he did throw a good ball on a fade, kind of away from our tunnel to that side. On the one that went on our tunnel sideline, I thought we really need to be on top of that one because that's where Russ is at his best, throwing the deep ball. I think you guys may have heard me say that. That's the thing that, man, that's his superpower. So I got to give him credit onto this one, and to have timing in that in a short week with a new player, like that's a big deal. But that is one of the things that makes him, an excellent player, just, one of the many things. But that part was the one that stuck out the most.
And, you know, with Philadelphia coming up, not saying they're the exact same players, but with the type of quarterback they have, they've got the running back, the receiver. It's somewhat similar to what you guys dealt with the Ravens in terms of just having all those levels. Is there anything from that Ravens game you can kind of take away from this? Or is it more like, hey, I've seen this team as in your previous job a bunch. I think we got a handle on what to do here.
I think I have an understanding of, you know, where they are philosophically. They're a little different, though, Ben, than they have been, you know, with a new play caller on offense. So that does change some. One of the things that jumps out to me from Philadelphia, you got to be able to play two downs, meaning Hurts can extend out of the play on a passing play to extend it as a passer and running. And you have to be ready to play four down football. And that's been a philosophy of Philadelphia for a number of years. And so there are two things that jump out that will be an important part of this game plan.
Sam?
Considering all the circumstances this week and what this game could mean for the race for the division title, does this feel like the biggest challenge or big challenge week you faced since becoming the Commanders coach?
It was bigger than any other, but I'm fired up about it. I can tell you that, Sam. It's cool. It's like better than the alternative, like not talking about big games. So like this is what like division games should be, man, like an absolute blast, like Philadelphia and Washington battling for it. Like, hell yeah, like more. So, but it's not, I don't look too far down the road, man. It's like just this game. Last week I did the same thing to say, wasn't about two games in 11 days. It was just this game, just this matchup. And honestly, that's where I see it again. Division games are awesome, man. They're fun. They're a battle. You know them well. They know you well. Although we haven't played yet, a lot of players know one another's, you know, scheme and technique, you know, pretty closely.
I always talk about the 24-hour rule and tell the truth Monday. I guess, is there anything differently that you feel like you have to do coming out of a stinging loss where guys are mad to make sure that they're mentally focused and ready to go?
Yeah, I think they're responding. That's the important part. And so seeing that part begin already last night, Sam, I thought that was a good sign to know that, yeah, they're mad. And like this game getting here this week, can't get here quick enough. So every once in a while, that short week's not such a bad thing. You know, we'll be on a plane here and by Wednesday and get to go battle again in a really tough, good environment against an excellent team. So that'll get your attention and response awful quick.
Yeah. David Aldridge.
Dan, how did Trent hold up on the film in his first start?
Yeah, so, and a good tough matchup too, Dave, to go as it's going to be. There'll be some plays that that Trent really should be proud of, you know, climbing to the next level of getting to one. There'll be a few that he'll want to have back. But I thought from the Chicago game to this game, Dave, I thought he really improved. I saw it in the practice week leading up to New York. I saw it in the practice week leading here. And when you're not sure if you're going to get that chance to go, it can be a little more challenging, but you have to prepare yourself, you know, as you're ready to go, because we just really weren't sure where we would go with Andrew Wiley. And so he had really had himself ready and revved up to go. And that's kind of, when you're a swing tackle, that's the name of the game, man. That's like being a backup QB and doing the extra work to get ready. So that's what I've seen from him, David, over the last couple of weeks, to have real readiness about him.
Also, on the offsides, is there a teaching point there for Johnny, or is it just you have to see the ball get snapped before you commit?
Yeah, it's definitely a teaching spot. And, you know, in these moments where it's fourth down in that space, the one thing that, you know, are they even going to go for it here? You know, is this going to be one that they would go or not? Is Russell a sneak guy to go? And so you just get so revved up. And as a good young competitor, it's a hard lesson, but one that this is the type of player, David, that's going to learn from this moment. He cares a lot. He's into it, and he's improving and developing, but it is a hard one. So to see all the players respond to him after the play should tell you what they feel about him here.
Chick? You good? Scott?
Hey, Coach. You know, everybody's wondering what type of response this team is going to have on Thursday. And listening to you, it already seems like you know how this team is going to respond. How comforting is that to know, as the head coach, you kind of already know the makeup of this team and how they're going to respond on Thursday?
That identity is coming through, you know. Like, I thought they played with a lot of toughness. That brotherhood was on display in the way they supported one another. And so, like, literally, as we've talked about, Scott, like, This team is tough, and I'd take them against anybody, anywhere, anytime. And that's the mindset that we have as a group. And I know they'll be ready to fight. It's kind of who we are and how we get down. So that part, I know we'll be ready.
And you know the buildup for this game. Everybody's talking about it. And you're not shying away from the importance of this game. You're not giving us, we're going to treat it like any other game. Why are you trying to embrace kind of the importance of, yes, this is a big deal on Thursday?
Yeah, I want us to feel comfortable in these environments. That's the only reason, Scott. I want us to enjoy the buildup and knowing that the process of getting ready is like all the other ones. So I wouldn't say I'm treating it differently. I would say the process of us getting ready to play will be exactly the same going into this one, going into the next one, the following one. I just want them to know, like, in these big moments and big games, like, that's where guys like Jaden is honestly at his very best in these crucial moments and these big plays to go. And I want us to feel very comfortable in this spot. So no reason to, you know, feel any differently about that. I'd rather embrace it than shy away from it. But it has no different process to it. I want to make sure I'm clear with you on that.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Candy?
Hey, Coach. So for you and your staff, when you need to give feedback to a player, how do you balance that corrective action without negatively impacting the brotherhood?
That's an awesome question, Candy. I think not one size fits all. And someone you need to, you know, put an arm around and tell them, you know, personally, hey, this is what we saw and this is what I've seen and this needs to change. And there's others in front of the teammate. Hey, this isn't you. This isn't what we need. And that's both fine. But getting to know what each player needs is important. The good news is, Candy, here, we do have a standard about things. And so that applies to every player on the roster. So if something's not to our standard that we said, that's all of our responsibilities to say that to them. Now, you don't have to be a jerk in the way that you say it, but you do have to say it. You just can't overlook something that was incorrect or something that isn't to the standard. You can't look the other way. I want to make sure I'm clear with you on that. But you do have to say it. But that doesn't mean you have to make the person feel small or act like a jerk when you're doing it, but you do have to get it corrected.
And Coach, with it being such a short week, I know you just mentioned that it's the same process, but do you get a little, maybe, I don't want to call it worried, maybe anxious about if those things can be corrected in such a short period of time?
Good news, we've got a lot of banked hours together. And so many of these things are ones that can be corrected. And so if there was a long laundry list of what was going on that felt bad, I'd say I would be anxious or worried. But this is a group that responds. And in a game that we have to make the corrections and move forward, that's okay. That's part of what we do. And so good news, a good bit of these players, Candy, will know the correction before we even come to them. And so that to me is the best of the best, where this is not kindergarten. We have to tell everything, no, put your backpack into the cubby. It's not that. Every game and instant is different, but you do have to get it right. You have to.
Thank you.
Donna.
Hey, Coach. Could you talk a little bit, the defense gave up 140 yards on the ground. Could you talk about what you saw there and being that you'll face another good runner this week in Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, Don, I thought, honestly, that I don't know what the total number of attempts were, but it was high. And I thought Pittsburgh would have a high number coming into it. They had been, you know, one of the top rushing teams in the league. So I thought the guys played physical. They played downhill and really tackled well. So the run game, I didn't think set us back in some ways. Did they get, you know, ahead on a play of a missed blitz or misfit? Yes. But you're right that both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have excellent running games, good running backs, and quarterbacks that can extend plays. And so you have to make sure that you have certain defenses and alignments and techniques to play to do that. But yeah, this will be a real challenge in the run game. That's certainly what they're at their best doing.
Commanders head coach Dan Quinn as the team prepares for a short week in advance of playing the Eagles Thursday night. No rest for the weary. That's how life goes in the NFL. Coming up at 1 o'clock, We got to go through all of the injuries. Dan Quinn says more guys are getting MRIs right now. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 1067 The Fan. Off and running here, man. DQ talking about, when he talks about imaging, so everybody understands, that means MRIs. That has me a little concerned for a short week, but that's also kind of part of the process.
How people do it after every week, after every game, you get that.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be, the guys are going to get hurt all the time. Dan Quinn also in his comments there said they're going to talk to the league about the spot on the Zach Ertz 4th-and-9. I think it was a pretty egregiously wrong call. It doesn't change that there were a ton of drops and that there were problems kind of throughout this game. But if you could pick up the 4th-and-9, then you've got the ball on the 40 with, at that point, they still had 3 timeouts left and you need 3 to win.
Yeah.
It's not like they had to get a touchdown.
Or they needed a field goal. And I thought they were going to get that chance.
DQ, I'm curious your reaction to this, Brian. DQ also said they're not going to pull Zacchaeus from the punt return role. You think that's the right decision?
I think he's just got to get better. You know, like I told you, I watched him try to catch the ball so high and he's allowing it to get to his path. Let me tell you about a receiver. If you're running the ball, you got the body catchers. When they get down to your stomach area, you know the ball sits in there. That thing hits the shoulder pad and only bounces off. So he's going to have to just learn to, they may start his hands up high, but like look it in and bring it down to more stomach waist area where he can catch it and catch it in a softer spot. Because if you allow it to catch you around the shoulder pads, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, I think I understand that he's not going to pull Zacchaeus. I think Dan Quinn has talked about the journey being an important part of the process and brotherhood and all of these things. And, like, it's not just talk. There are coaches that talk about these things that the players don't buy into, and then it's just like one big cynical cycle. They don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, you can't just bench a guy after one bad game.
Yeah. I've had him, Jay, so I know.
Right. Did you ever think you were losing a gig?
Anytime you have a bad thing and it costs the team, you have that fear, but you also know you have to correct it. And, you know, if I'm Zacchaeus right now, I'm asking Tress to hit me some. I will go with that jugs machine. I would have him adjust it to where it's like the same way of most of the left guys. If I'm looking at the guys, a right-footed punter this week, I'm going to check it out because, as I told you before, whenever I caught punts from a right-footed punter and his ball did the natural trajectory, I always caught it more to the right side of my body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now the left-footed punter comes, and the way his ball comes, and you keep setting up for the right side, that ball comes from the outside right towards your left side of your body. So you have to adjust what foot is back and how you set up to catch the ball. You know what I mean? So he's just going to have to adjust to what it is and look ahead of time and put an emphasis on that week. Who do I have, right-footed punter, left-footed punter? Does the guy hit a ball that normally turns over, or does his ball float a lot? And have your game plan for it. Another thing I notice about him, he kind of gets flat-footed when he's catching. And what I mean by that is, guy stands just straight up and down. When you're coming, when it's a little windy out there, that ball can move in those last 5 to 6 yards coming down. So you want to always be able to just take a little step to the left, step to the right, step back or step up. You know, so if he keeps his feet kind of like in a, you know, a relatively ready position, it'll help him out a lot.
Got to keep your feet, man. Not a surprise that Dan Quinn not going to make a change, but I think you got to be quick. If things continue to happen, you got to be ready to make a quick move. Here's the quick move we're going to make. Maybe we open these phone lines back up. I'm not sure we're ready for that. I still want to break down yesterday's game, but there's a really short week, dude. The Eagles are coming Thursday night. Did Washington give it away? Did Pittsburgh come back and take it? And how hot is Philly? We're going to explore this when we return on B. Mitch and Finley.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.